Ethnically Ambiguous is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Hi, Shireen.
Hi, Anna.
How's it going?
It's good. We have a nice episode for yes. the audience today. We started talking about one thing and another thing, and then we started talking about another thing, and it was great. Basically, this is like just a conversation between us friends, and we talk a lot about what we're watching. We are Lady Parts, Never Have I Ever, White Lotus, and just like the importance of representation in We Are Lady Parts. It's a nice conversation. What do you think?
Yes, I agree. We had a good time. Okay, so listen up.
Who are we? Where do we come from? Who do we become? What is it to be? What to be is it? Where are we? Who are my parents? Where are my pants? Why were we born? We are Ethnically Ambiguous.
Hi, this is Shireen.
Hi, this is Anna.
And this is Ethnically Ambiguous.
So this is an interesting episode because it's just us two gabbing.
Mm-hmm. I actually already have an episode title idea if you want to hear it.
Sure.
Just the two of us.
We are just the two of us? Isn't that what we call them? We are something?
I guess so. I guess I didn't think of that about the we are part.
We are just the two of us.
Only talking to each other.
Something, 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 something.
I guess we can say we are only talking to each other. We have no other friends. We can figure it out. Anyway, hi, everybody. We figured we'd just like have an episode where we're just sitting around, like gabbing, like friends. You can feel like we're all in a circle and talking together. Isn't that what podcasts do sometimes?
We talk in a circle. Wait, what?
I want the audience to imagine that we're all together a circle talking.
And it would be like a million person circle because that's how many downloads we get.
That's very true. Yeah, it would be
probably one of the bigger podcasts that's ever existed.
I would say so, yeah.
We always get like guest requests for like Joe Rogan, who's like, please let me come on and promote my show. And we're like, you know,
God,
unfortunately,
he's tried so hard.
We're like, we don't have guests on.
No, and not people that are white and annoying. And I guess not white, just Joe Rogan.
No, we don't have people like Joe Rogan. We don't have guests on at all, Shireen.
Can I edit out the white part? I got dragged the other day on Bastards for making fun of white people.
God, who cares? It's okay.
Just keep me wanting to cut it out.
They're all lame-os. Sorry. If you're getting upset that someone acknowledged you're white, then you're a lame-o. And you know what? You can quote me on that.
No, because we've also had white guests. So I don't want to like point the finger at them kind of thing. I just hate Joe Rogan. But.
Well, they're now lame-os.
They are. Well, no, wait, what? I thought you meant Joe Rogan was.
Everyone's lame-o.
No.
Sorry, is what it is. I won't take it back. I will not take it back.
Okay, well.
Quit that lame-o behavior.
It's on the record. How has your week been, by the way?
My week's been so busy. I'm exhausted. My brain is fried. I have so much work to do all the time. I'm
Working lady.
I'm a working, twerking lady.
Working, twerking, lady. Do you think you're better at twerking or working?
Probably working. To be honest with you.
Yeah, it's like a weird week. I really hate when it's intolerably hot. You know what I mean? Like, you can't step outside without feeling like you're baking. It just makes me uncomfortable. I would much rather be cold and, like, wrapped up in a big coat and a scarf. But yeah, I'm okay. I got my hair done yesterday. I think I look really cool. I think it's the coolest haircut I've ever had.
You're looking snazzy.
Yeah, it's like grayish. It's more like bleach gray, if that makes sense. And I think it looks really cool. My hair looks the coolest when it's wet. Like wet hair look, you know? Like kind of like slightly not soaking wet. But the wet hair look is like gross in real life because you have to like put a lot of gel in your hair.
Ew.
So it's not like... I don't know. It makes me sad.
Jill, I mean, the concept of like crunchy hair is my nightmare, but it really was like an essence of like the 90s, early 2000s, like that crunchy hair look where girls with curly hair would just crunch it up so hard. And you're like, dude, this is not worth it.
It's a very specific kind of crunch too. Like I can point it out in like an audio bank. It's like this one little crunch of hair. It's weird. I'm just a crunch fiend.
Ew.
Sorry.
Very early on, I would crunch my hair like that. But then I like, I just hated the feeling of it.
Yeah.
Couldn't stand it. Yeah. So I gave up on the crunch life. And now I'm strictly no product at all. I don't put it. Well, that's not true. I put like spray leave-in conditioner after the shower just for moisture in my hair. But like, other than that, no product, baby. I don't even straighten my hair anymore or curl it. I don't do anything. I just let it sit how it wants to sit. Yeah.
I only let it air dry. And if I don't like certain, because my hair is like wavy. And I actually didn't even start using like spray conditioner or like hair oil or anything until I bleached my hair. So I'm like behind on the hair care because I just like let it air dry when I had short hair.
Once you start bleaching your hair, you need it.
Yeah. I really like that I've maintained it for the past like, because I got it done in March for the when I first bleached my hair. But yeah, like my method, because my hair is on the like wavier side, and if I just let it air dry on its own, it does get curly. So I just put bobby pins in places, and when it dries, it like looks nice for me, but it just makes it more manageable.
That's like how you can get that like 20s wave style. I don't know what I'm talking about. Well, anyway, guys, we don't really have a plan for this episode. We just couldn't book a guest, so we were like, fuck it, let's just gab. Let's just gab. Some gabby gabs.
Yeah, we could talk about things we've watched. We really loved...
We Are Lady Parts?
Yes, We Are Lady Parts. That show is sick. Highly recommend anyone that hasn't watched it to watch We Are Lady Parts. It's so fucking cool.
It really is. I mean, I can't recommend enough. What a great show. Like, one, every aspect of it, I'm like, yeah, I get that.
Same.
Like, oh, are you angry? Me too. Oh, is something annoying? Same.
Yeah. Like, even with this sprinkling of more representation for Arabs or Middle Easterners or Muslims, like, in my opinion, the coolness is gone. You know what I mean? Like, the Mindy Kaling show.
Never Have I Ever.
Yeah. So, like, I think usually that stereotype, especially, like, a girl... is kind of naive or whatever, and what, like, whatever. But We Are Lady Parts, they're all badasses. And I just really love that. They're just so fucking cool. And I wish I was a rock star.
You know, except for like the main character, like they don't really care how people perceive them at all, which is pretty badass.
Yeah. And I think her journey is getting to that, right?
Yeah. So it's about Muslim women who are in a rock band. The main character is a girl who basically gets recruited to be the lead guitarist, and she's like a really great guitarist, but like doesn't like play live or anything, because if she does, she shits and vomits at the same time because of like stage fright, which is just, you know, hilarious. You know, she wants to be like a good Muslim girl, get married, you know, an arranged family, and just like, you know, keep up the looks. And she has like one side, which is all her friends who are like these like perfect Muslim women who are like getting married and, you know, just like doing it all right.
We both know people like that.
Oh, yeah.
I think what's interesting is that they flipped it. Like the parents are so Western and they're just like, you don't have to get married. Go have fun, like interact or whatever. And like she's the one that's like, no, I want a marriage. This is my life. I'm covering my hair and everything. So she's really strict on herself versus like her parents that are just not strict at all. So I think it's interesting that they made that.
Yeah, there's that dynamic where she's the strict one and her parents are kind of like, relax a little. They're like kind of goofier. But like people see her playing guitar as like a negative thing of like, why would you play guitar? You should just like cook and clean. You're like, basically, if you want to be a wife, you don't need like hobbies like that. But she like uses it. She's like, well, I teach guitar to like give back to kids, you know.
Like she teaches lessons.
Yeah.
Yeah, but she's also a scientist. She's just so cool.
Yeah, she's getting her PhD. She's just great. And then also, she's a ballin' guitar player. She's like actually amazing. Mm-hmm. Like the few scenes where she's like soloing and she goes into her own world, and it's just so fun. I mean, the show it's overall really cool. Is just so fun.
And did you know? So they all have a musical background. They're actually playing. They wanted people that could play instruments, like people that understood what they were doing. And it's amazing. It's just so cool that they were just invested so much in this show, both the actors and the people behind it, that they were like, we need to make this legit. And it looks so sick.
It really does. It's really well done. I can't recommend it enough. I made Jack and Miles watch it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. For Anna Streaming Corner trademark copyright on TDZ, I made them watch it. And one, I think like the music budget must have been really out of control because they play like such mainstream like bangers.
That's true.
They go from like scream singing System of the Down in their car while driving to like 5 o'clock prayer. And there's a scene where the main character is, you know, it's like one of those scenes where like they're not walking, they're like floating through a room and she's singing Radiohead's Creep.
Oh my God, you're right. That song is probably so expensive.
This exact scene is representation like I've never seen before. Like a woman in a hijab having like one of those days where you're like, God, fuck everything. And she's just singing Creep by Radiohead. Yeah. And I was like, there you go, bitches. That's how it's done. It's so simple. And it's funny. Like, it's funny as fuck.
Yeah, it's really funny. The lead singer, her name in the show is like Saria. I think they all represented like a Muslim that every person could relate to in some way. Like, Saria is really unconventional. Her parents like basically disowned her. She has tattoos and she is perceived as like a failure to her family. And she embodies that so well. Mm-hmm. And she is a singer, but she was saying that like she had to train her voice to go deeper and like screamy. So I just think that's interesting.
Also, like still like a Muslim woman, like prays, believes in the religion, and is still able to exist in this form of like being a badass. Like it's not so binary, you know, it's kind of amazing.
Something that I really like what they did with this character, because Muslims are like perceived as like a symbol of fear for so many people, but this character, Mumtaz, she is dressed head to toe at all times in a burqa. Like, only her eyes are showing. And there's this scene that, like, I fell in love with where she's just slow-mo walking, like, vaping. And it's so fucking cool. And it's, I just love that, like, literally she's the coolest character in my opinion. Like, I just love that they made a very religious Muslim girl into this fucking badass. Because people look at that figure and they get nervous, you know? So it's like, I hope people actually watch this that need to watch it kind of thing.
Yeah, it's like they made the burqa like cool.
Yeah, they like, really did.
The aesthetics of it, like how they shoot like the vape smoke coming out, like it's so well done. They glamorize an outfit that has been so demonized in Western culture. It's like, thank you. Like, thank you.
I loved that. I love that so much. And they really did like, the way it blew in the wind and everything, it's amazing that they made it. Like, honestly, I wouldn't ever expect to think a burqa would look that cool. But I was just like, should I wear one? It looks so cool. Like, she's just so mysterious. And I fell in love with that character. I think she's the best.
And she also gets, like, questioned as to, like, why she wears it. And she doesn't give a fuck. She's just like, it's because I want to. It's none of your real fucking business.
And she plays basically the band manager.
Yeah.
And there's this one scene where she's like at a desk and she's like dressed again, head to toe in this burqa, and she puts her feet up and she's wearing these like badass boots that are just like huge and chunky and so cool. So it's like this two parts, like multiple parts, obviously. They're all lady parts, but it's just, I love the mix and it's so badass. I can't, maybe we should just have this be a lady parts episode.
I know, it really has turned into it. And you know, I will say Bashir with the good beard. I mean, like,
oh my God.
All the music, too.
Their
like,
songs. Their songs are so fucking good. Like, they're so funny and so good. I was blown away. Bashir with the good beard is hilarious. And every lyric is so good.
I have really enjoyed it. And, you know, Aisha's character, who's the drummer, and she's, like, terrifying, so angry, just, like, a badass drummer. And then also queer. They don't explain anything. Like, it's like, I don't have to explain why this Muslim woman is queer. Because, like, you know what? She just is. Period.
Yeah.
No questions.
I love that there's no explanation. She's just existing. They're all just existing. My favorite song, though, is Voldemort Under My Headscarf.
Yeah.
I lost it at this song. It's basically just like, I looked at the lyrics just now. What could I be hiding? Voldemort's alive and he's under my headscarf. I mean, and it's just like this badass metal song. It's so fucking cool.
And it's like such a great metaphor of like, you're so scared of this like piece of cloth on my head. Why? Yeah. Like, who cares? It's none of your business anyway.
Yeah. There's a verse that says, does other headgear scare you too? Hats, helmets, not just you.
Yeah.
That's just so good. That's so creative. I don't know.
It's Are they so in the
second
wonderful.
Season? Do you know?
Oh, they fucking better.
They really need to get a second season or I'll burn it down. I'll burn it all down.
Oh, God. If they don't, I will come for Peacock.
Honestly, I will rage tweet until something happens if it doesn't get picked up for a second season. I'm going to look it up right now.
I don't know. Currently, it says there's no news yet.
Oh, yeah.
Which is not
as of July deal. 11th.
I swear to God. And you know what? They took our naming style. Like, we are.
yeah, they know we exist, probably. Maybe this should be We Are Lady Parts. Like, the title of our episode. Is that, like, copyright? I don't know.
We are Lady Parts. How about that? Is that too much? Okay. I think that's fun. A friend of mine knows Juliet Motamed. Oh, sorry if I'm saying that wrong. Motamed. And so hopefully if we can get connected, we can get Aisha the drummer, Juliet Motamed, on the show.
That would be so fun. Put out good vibes, everybody, to get her on the show. I mean, it's totally possible. She seems like they all just seem awesome.
Yeah. And also, 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. Are you fucking kidding me?
That is the second season. 100%
on Rotten Tomatoes. That's how good it is that not a single person is like, no. Everyone's like, gotta watch it.
I also really like that they have multiple ethnicities in the show. The drummer is Iraqi and her brother and her are Iraqi.
I know, we gotta talk about Bizma as well. She might be the bass player, or maybe it's just another guitarist, but she is the one who makes all the art about the like period, and she's just like,
oh my god,
when those people at the arch are at her like what is it called? Like, it's like a flea market and they're not interested. And she's like, your blood is your friend or whatever. Like, oh, she's funny too.
Yeah. I love that they have different kinds of Muslims. Obviously, because we're not just one kind. We're from different countries. We're different ethnicities. We talk different languages. I appreciated that.
Yeah. Even like the creator, Nida Manzoor, like she's a director and writer. She's a Pakistani Muslim woman, you know.
Mm-hmm.
She lived in like Singapore and then moved to London. And like, I don't know, she just created such a goddamn good show.
We talk about it all the time. Like, you have to make and represent yourself because no one else will. So I think in her mind, like, that's what she needed to see when she was growing up. But she knew people like her would really appreciate it. And she was right. What I really hope is that not just we are watching it. You know what I mean? Like, I hope it's not just us that's promoting it and being fans of it. I hope it's reaching a broader audience that are like being educated about maybe something they don't know about.
I mean, we got to get the soundtrack.
Yeah.
So I was reading this about Manzoor. So apparently when she originally did We Are Lady Parts in 2018, the episode screened, there was like a lot of backlash. So she had to close her social media accounts. I mean,
why was there backlash?
Because the world hates everything. And she said it's somewhat autobiographical and that she cited This Is Spinal Tap and The Young Ones as influences for the series. And then she co-wrote the music with her siblings, Shez Manzoor and Sanya Manzoor, with their brother-in-law, Benjamin Benny Fragan. So the fact that it's all like original, everything about it.
It's so impressive. I'm just so impressed by the show. You can tell that so much effort was put into it in every aspect. Yeah. Let's take our first break. We'll be right back. And we're back talking about cool Muslim women. I also appreciated the queerness that was involved. I mean, like you said, everyone is represented in some way. They can't represent everybody. And there's so many people that like need representation, non-binary people, trans Muslim people. But this is a great first step, I think, to like really broadening representation for Arabs, Muslims, brown, like Swana region people. It's just, yeah.
I agree. And you know what? Overall, just like such a good time. It's nice to see like a show about Muslim women that's not like heavy.
It's not heavy and it's not bad.
No.
And people like it. Like, that's amazing.
I really like Never Have I Ever by Mindy Kaling. That was, you know, originally the first show where I was like, wow, it's nice to see like a mom be like, where's that dress I bought you from Costco? And you're like, oh, God, too real,
that's
you
so
know?
Real.
That's and so like real. Experience that. But like there was slightly a heaviness to that because the character's father had died and she was just kind of like acting out in a way that you're like, I mean, I get it. That show's also, I can't recommend enough. Really well done. So funny. But it is about like a young girl who's like kind of like going through it and dealing with high school and like being cool.
But it's relatable as fuck, you know?
Yeah, like, it really is. And the main character is not like always super likable. So you're like, because she's just being a dick and, you know, like doing her thing. And you're like, I get it.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't think any protagonist in any show or any like ensemble, like they shouldn't always be likable. Like a good part about following a character's journey is like they're flawed, you know? And it's right. It would be so boring if you were watching like a perfect person live their life.
It is annoying. It's like the Noor character in We Are Lady Parts who's like absolutely perfect. And she's the main character's friend. She's like her perfect Muslim girlfriend who's getting married, you know?
And they grew up together. They're best friends. She encourages the main character to like lean into like being like the traditional Muslim side of like marriage being the end all be all, which is great for some people, but it is a very traditional standpoint. I don't know. Noor's character was very well done. Like I knew exactly who she was. I've met so many people like Noor and she just pulled it off so well.
You're like, yeah, I know you. And I've disliked you.
The only person I couldn't think of that I've ever met is someone as lenient as the mother. Like the mother was so cool. I've never met someone that awesome. When it comes, I mean, you know what I mean? Like, she just is so encouraging of her daughter being exactly who she is and encouraging her to, like, not be narrow-minded or whatever, you know?
Yeah. But at the same time, it's like, when she wants to be so much like her friends, she has to deal with the fact that, like, she considers herself and her parents embarrassing because they're not as strict, you know?
That's true. Yeah, because she's very, like, modest in the way she dresses and the way she, like, her personality, like she's like talking about sex or whatever. And there's one scene where like her mom is talking about sex or something, like something taboo in her eyes. You can just see it's like this dynamic that's so interesting to me where it's the daughter this time that's like, you're embarrassing me because you're talking about sex. Or when she goes on a date and the guy picks her up, the mom is like, oh, okay. Like she like obviously flirts in front of him or whatever. And it's like, wow, this is great.
Yeah, I just this moment where she's like meeting this family, this very conservative Muslim family. And she's like, but look at his eyes. Definitely just, you know, like she's trying to make something happen out of nothing of being like, OK, he's very intense looking and very serious and it appears strict. But his eyes, they're look, he has nice eyes. Yeah, look, yeah. He's got nice eyes. Make the eyes happen. And you see, she's just trying to like find something, you know, she's trying to create out of nothing. But I just thought that moment was so funny to me. I don't know why.
So it's funny.
Just like her being like, no, but he's got kind eyes.
Yeah,
right?
Just latching on to anything. Yeah. Be like, I can make this work.
And also actually that moment of like embarrassing family members, which I live that life. My dad has truly made some choices in my life in front of my friends. But there was a moment because their grandmother comes to live with them from India. And she's like hanging out with this boy who's like part Asian and the grandma comes in and she's like, ooh, where are you from? Give me three guesses to find out. And they're like,
that
no,
is
no,
so
no,
relatable.
Like pushing her out of the room.
I hate how real that is though.
But the ecstaticness of the grandma being like, ooh, where are you from? Give me three guesses to figure it out. And I just thought that was so funny. I was like, yeah.
It is funny. Yeah. Unfortunately relatable, but not with my parents in particular, but like just different family members that are just like, let me guess where you're fucking from. Because in reverse, I think it's so offensive. It's offensive for everybody. But I think the opening scene in We Are Lady Parts, like the very first scene is so fucking funny. And it hooks you immediately because they're two families are meeting, her family and this more conservative family. And the whole time they're like, well, can't she cook? She's like, oh, of course she can cook. Yeah. And they're like, and then they're like, oh, is she finishing school? What's she going to do after? And they don't tell her that she has a PhD or whatever. Like, they make her out to be this, like, domestic housewife, basically.
Yeah.
And it's not believable. I thought that was so funny.
Yeah. All for, like, a marriage. It taps on so many different things because it also, like, it's just so many layers of explaining yourself of like, no, like I am a good Muslim. Like you don't need to like label me some sort of way because I'm not, I don't meet all these like stereotypical standards of what a good Muslim woman should be or whatever, a good Muslim man. There's just so much to it. It's like, even when they made that song and they're like, why are you insulting Islam? And they're like, no, we're not. We're like, yeah, actually, like, we don't, there was like some, what was it? They had like an article written about them that they like deride Islam. And they're like, we don't actually.
Yeah. That was, I love that they did that though, because that would be in real life if there was a Muslim band that was like saying stuff like, I'm the only person allowed to kill my sister in an honor killing. And it's like, yeah, it's like fucked up. I can imagine people like hating that. I can imagine like a huge backlash from like so many like Muslim people. And so I'm glad that they inserted that in, because they're all, yeah, all the girls in the band are, act like they're Muslim and they're like faith-based, and
yeah,
it's, they don't take it as seriously as the majority of people do, and I just really, really like that.
But it's like, even beyond that, like, it's what they make Islam to be for them, mm-hmm, which is like what I'm always saying, is like, it doesn't need to be about all this like what you read about or what you think it needs to be. It's like, if you believe in it, you believe in it, period. Like, you don't need to be trying to prove to other people that you are a good Muslim person.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
It's your choice. It's your choice what you do with this religion, and it's no one else's business.
Yeah. I wish that was more commonly understood, you know, because I don't think that's actually as real as I want it to be. But I like that they did it in the show because it gave me hope. I will say, it's only, okay, the whole show is only 6 episodes. First, ugh, very easy to binge. A travesty. But second, like, they crammed so much, as you said, like so many layers in 6 episodes. It's just so impressive. I can only imagine if they had more time, how much more could happen. Because I think they made it also not knowing if there would be a second season, right? So they really did make this like this whole show that could end at the very end. You know what I mean? Like, it's not the end of the world, like story-wise, I mean. And I think they purposely did that and crammed everything in that they could.
Ugh, it should have been longer.
It should have been longer.
45 episodes per season, 80 seasons.
Yeah, that's enough, I think.
I'm out of control. I just want joy. And that show gives me joy.
Yeah, it does. And it was just a feeling I have never felt before, because, like, I don't know about you, but I grew up, I wanted to be like a badass. I wanted to be like on stage, like metal, rock star, whatever. I was so into like Japanese metal at the time when I was younger. And like, I'm sure so many Muslim girls, like me and you, just like dreamt about like breaking out of this shell, mm-hmm, and like being fucking badass, like badass rock stars. In particular, I had this rock star fantasy.
Me too. And my parents made me play cello. Travesty.
Okay, my parents were even worse. My favorite instrument is cello ever since I was younger, but they refused to let me play cello because at the time my mom was listening to this sheikh that said string instruments are the music of the devil. So then I was forced to play something else. And my sister played stupid flute. So I played the clarinet, ended up getting the bass clarinet eventually because I was like, this is the closest thing to a cello I'm going to get. Regardless, I just really wanted to just like break out in this like rock star way. And so watching this show gave me a feeling I've never felt before. I was like, they also felt that way and they're doing it. And this is exactly who I wanted to be. And it's like nice to see it reflected, you know?
Yeah, that's funny because I was forced to play the cello, but I always wanted to play like the guitar.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. I mean, as I grew up, I had a guitar and I was like trying to teach myself and I had lessons for a minute. But I mean, I suck. But yeah, that rock star music fantasy was there for sure. I like the way this turned out. Like, we genuinely did not know going in what we were going to talk about. And then we had like a great discussion about We Are Lady Parts.
And you know what? Let's take another quick break. We'll be right back. And we're back.
Back.
Shireen, have you watched anything else?
I have watched something other than Lady Parts in my life. Yeah. We Are Lady Parts in my life. Yes. Well, recently, there's a new show called The White Lotus.
Love it.
Yeah. I'm really hoping they touch on the danger of tourism in Hawaii, because I don't know if you've heard, like, especially in the last couple of weeks, Hawaii is experiencing a lot of economic problems with its act, like with the native citizens, because tourists and tourism as like priority as far as like funding goes.
They're turning off like water in Maui for their citizens.
Yeah, to make for the tourists. Like, that's absurd.
I mean, I'll be real with you. They're not going to touch on that. I think that show
makes
was
me sad.
Yeah, but
the whole
that
show
was
about that.
The show was created before, I think, a lot of these problems. Like, I think it was all filmed before, and I don't think they wrote it to be about that. I think it's more about like just terrible white people.
I mean, yeah, and I love that it's about terrible rich white people. Mm-hmm. But knowing what's going on in Hawaii now, I get kind of uncomfortable watching it sometimes because they have like maybe like a shot or two of the Hawaiian employees and it's kind of just like glossed over. But I can't help but think about reality in my head. I know it's a show, but Hawaiians are saying like, please do not come here. Please do not move here. Don't be tourists, or especially now. And they're not stopping. Like, I know a lot of people that just like move to Hawaii. That's like the biggest kind of gentrification that you could do. It's just absurd. And I'm not saying no one can move to Hawaii, but like, it's a unique situation.
Like, they moved to Hawaii during the pandemic?
Not during the pandemic. My friend's brother, for example, lives there with his family. They moved there a couple years ago. Or this, like a friend of a friend, like moved from New York. Oh, during the pandemic. No, she moved during the pandemic from New York to Hawaii.
I mean, I don't think there's a problem moving there if you're going to live there. I think the problem is more tourism, because if you're going to move there, you're going to be paying taxes to live there. I think it's more
of like
showing up, taking resources, and then leaving it for dead, you know?
Yeah.
Because once you move there, now your water is also being turned off, because it's not like you live in a hotel. You live in a house, and all of a sudden you're part of the community.
I think what makes me uncomfortable about the moving there, though, is that online especially, they make it seem like this paradise. They're just like it's like, imagine those like typical fucking influencer vlogger people that are like, my new life in Hawaii. And there's a lot of people fucking like that. I don't think they know the realities of what the native Hawaiians have been through. I don't know. Like, part of me still thinks it's like a little gentrifying, but I have to wrap my head around, like, I have to word it better. I don't have all my thoughts in a row, but White Lotus so far is an interesting show.
I think it's so funny. It's one of the greater shows I've watched in the past year. I love Steve Zahn. I love Jennifer Coolidge. I think their expressions are so fun. Like, just the way they look, it's so funny. Like, everyone is so funny in that show. And I think they've nailed the Gen Z characters. Yeah. Like, it's so, everything about it kills me. Like, just the shitty white people who are just like, they just don't
so
understand
privileged.
Anything.
Yeah.
Jennifer Coolidge, I mean, out of the park.
She can do anything, and I would laugh. She doesn't have to do anything.
Incredible. Yeah.
And I read that the director, like, specifically wanted her to have, like, a meatier role. So much of the time, she just plays, like, bit characters, you know?
Yeah.
Who's your favorite character?
Oh, God, that's tough. I mean,
I have one.
It's between Steve Zahn and Jennifer Coolidge.
Okay.
They're
mine's
my favorites.
Armand. The hotel manager.
I mean, that guy is such a fucking monster. I love how every white person's a monster and every person of color is just trying to survive. And I think that's very well done. Like, the girl who goes with the family and like the family just says really wild shit about like, the mom, Connie Britton, just being like, I get it. You know, like, I get it's tough being a young white man these days because like everyone is just so... Like, you know, they cast you aside because you're a white man. And like the mom's or
no
the
one gives
daughter
them attention anymore.
The daughter's like, "Well, I think he's had enough attention, you know."
But the parents and the mom like really believe that though. Like, I feel so sad for my white boy child because he's being neglected in society. It's like, "Fuck you."
Yeah, and she's like a Gwyneth Paltrow like goop character, the worst, you know.
It's really funny. But Armand, I just love watching that actor act. He's just so good at...
He's really funny.
This character that's so fucking funny. And he's always dressed so well. I just really love that character. And the other character that I actually like that I didn't think I would like, and I'm one episode behind, so if there's something related to this, don't say it. But the little brother character, the white boy of this family that we're talking about, I actually really feel sorry for him. And I... Not about being white or anything, but like he's just so lonely.
Wow,
and his sister
Connie Britton
sucks.
Worked on you.
No, it's not about that.
I'm just joking.
You know what I mean? Like, every time I see him, he's just like, miserable.
Yeah.
It's not about being white or thing. It's like being like a young person with a shitty sibling, I see it as. And he only connects with people through the internet and his phone. And I just like, there are so many, I can think of people that I know that are like that. I feel for that character, but definitely Armand is up there. And Jennifer Coolidge, obviously.
Yeah. I forgot how funny Steve Zahn is. Just his expressions. Oh my God. He's been in so much stuff. Like, look him up. He's been, you know, he's around more in the 90s, early 2000s, and I haven't seen him in a while.
I definitely recognized him, but I couldn't pinpoint where I had seen
him.
He's
in a bunch of stuff. Okay,
Daddy Daycare, Joyride.
Joyride. I remember him Joyride with Paul Walker.
Mm-hmm.
Sahara, I think something is called. Sahara with like Matthew McConaughey. I don't know. He's just been around for so long. He's just in stuff. But his story arc is wild. It killed me.
Yeah, the last episode is the one that ended with him like flopping down on the bed.
Monkey.
That was just really funny to me.
Just that whole scene or that whole everything, that whole episode. I think you'll really enjoy the next episode because they do kind of address like how this hotel is built on like native land.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to watch it tonight, so I'm excited.
And there's one, the girl, the friend who came with the family, she asks Steve Zahn a question that fucking had me like rolling.
Oh my God.
It's such a great moment. I am very excited for you to watch it. Text me after you watch it because I was dying.
Well, are you watching like the inside the episode clips that they have for each one?
Yeah.
Like the director creator said that like she realizes by being with this family, like just how insufferable white people are, for lack of a better phrase, you know what I mean, like how much learning they have to do. So I'm excited to see that all transpire.
Yeah, and I think that's that starts to come to a head in the next episode that you're about to watch. So I think you'll enjoy it.
I'm looking forward to watching it. It's nice to watch like a unique, interesting show. Like I can't think of a show like that I've seen. Okay, Jake Lacy though,
he's in fucking
everything. Yes, well, how is he? He's the white guy that like doesn't escape any show I watch. Like, why is he? Like, he's very good at acting like a terrible human being, but he's genuinely in every show.
He plays the perfect, most insufferable dude. Like, his own wife is starting to hate him.
Yeah,
it's so funny. And then Molly Shannon as the mom who pops in eventually. Oh my God!
I didn't know that she was the mom. I'm excited.
They're all so terrible. Yeah. And it's, I think they nail it.
Yeah.
Just insufferable rich white people with a lack of understanding of like anything outside their bubble.
Yeah. And he even says that Jake Lacy's character is the worst person in the world. Like, he's so insufferable. But there's one moment where he's on the bed with his wife and he's like, I'm living with the cards I was dealt. Like, it's not my fault that I was dealt these great cards kind of thing. And like, on one hand, he has a point.
Yeah.
But the other hand is like, you don't have to be a terrible human being because you're rich. But anyway.
Hilarious.
I like that we could talk about fun shows. And I hope y'all are watching some fun stuff. If you haven't watched We Are Lady Parts, highly recommend you check it out and watch White Lotus with us as we go along.
And then also Never Have I Ever, I recommend as well.
Oh, right.
Netflix. Yeah. Two seasons out right now.
Yeah.
I enjoy it all.
Yeah, this was fun. We should do it again sometime.
We'll see.
It's like we just met for coffee.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. I'm like really busy.
Mm-hmm. I'll check my calendar, my schedule. I'll ask my assistant.
Please just like CC my assistant moving forward.
Mm-hmm. And no need to text. Just email is fine.
Please never leave a voicemail or I'll kill you. Just no big deal. I'll kill you. Yeah.
I'll kill you
and your family. No big deal.
If
I get a single goddamn voicemail. Even if it was accidentally left and it's just you breathing and you didn't have time to hang up in time, I'll kill you and your family. No big deal.
Yeah, no big deal. Okay. Well, this was very fun.
No big deal.
I hope you guys had fun with us. And
no big deal, you guys.
No big deal. Don't leave us voicemails. Actually, I would love to have fans leave voicemails. Oh, before we go, this is the very nice review.
Oh yeah, read that review.
Then we'll close it out. Okay. Miss Breyer says, the subject line is one of my weekly favorites. They say, I learn so much from Shireen and Anna and their guests every episode. The emotional labor they put in week after week, humanizing Muslims and Arabs in general is irreplaceable, as well as humanizing anyone who isn't Christian and white. They deserve all the awards. I look to these two women for so much of my cultural awareness. Thanks for all you do. It's so nice. I'd like to leave on a note that people like us.
People
anyway,
like us.
Thank you for that wonderful review. If you're out there listening, it's very nice to read and to note that we're making like a little bit of a difference. Okay, this is Ethnically Ambiguous, Ethnically Am, AMB on Twitter, and Ethnically Ambig, AMBIG on Instagram. I am Shireen. It's Shirohero666 on Twitter, and then just Shirohero on Instagram.
And I'm at Anna Jose on Twitter.
Yeah, and until next time, watch all the stuff we talked about.
There will be a quiz. Thank you.
Yes.
Ethnically Ambiguous is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.